This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Rick has up and moved the family to Pennsylvania Dutch country. Still no internet where he lives out on the island, so we've got a little bit of a problem on that front. So unfortunately, Rick not with us today to bask, well, not bask, actually really have to relive the Islander loss yesterday. I was going to say bask in the glory, but I mean, they're still up 2-1 in the series, but I mean, that was a bad one. So we'll see what happens tomorrow at noon. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. And you know, Ricky's got to be somewhat in a good mood. I mean, the Mets did play well last night. Rick Porcello bounced back from the awful first two starts that he had in the Mets uniform. So, I mean, there was some positives for Rick Sports Day yesterday.
No, there were. Yeah. I'm sure the Islander one stuck out a little bit, but who
the
were
Islanders
those guys?
The Islanders are still in control of that series, though. You know what I mean? Like, there were some uncharacteristic mistakes, and you saw that the Panthers took advantage of power play opportunities. Like, that wasn't a Barry Trotz, New York Islanders typical performance. So I look at that as an outlier, as an aberration. And let's face it, the Panthers were desperate. They were facing an elimination game, so you knew that you were going to get their best shot. But we'll see what happens on Friday.
Well, we will get into this a little bit later as well. And you mentioned the Mets. I mean, let's start with the baseball across the board. First of all, who were those guys wearing Met uniforms last night deciding to field all of a sudden? I mean, they made every single play. And I'm not talking about like one or two, Chris. They're making 10 plays across the board. And guys like Jacob DeGrom have to be looking at that like, who the hell are these people?
No, I mean, listen, they were much improved from what we had saw the night before. And, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due, man. I thought that Rick Porcello went out there and set the tone. He had the cutter, the slider, and the changeup all working. Luis Rojas talked a little bit about it after the game. He was mixing his pitches, and he kept the Nats lineup off balance. And then he got some nice defensive plays to support him. That one play by Jimenez at the end of the fourth on that Thames grounder, like that was a pretty good play. Like, I mean, to be able to dive, to field the ground ball, and then backhand it, make a strong throw to first, like that was impressive. Like, to see a young guy make that kind of play. But those are the types of plays that you have to make to support your starting pitching, especially the guys not named Jacob DeGrom, right? Because you know that they don't have his natural talent, and they're not going to be able to get away with the mistakes that they make, and you're going to have your defense pick you up at some point throughout the course of the season. So it was nice to see those moments mixed into the game yesterday. And quite frankly, Rick Porcello needed that. He needed a bounce-back performance. He needed something to build his confidence, because he was off to a terrible start with the Mets, right? He was off to an awful start. And so I thought that was a good team win, solid all the way around, and the Mets should feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, they should. And last thing I want to do is take anything away from it. What I will do is take something away from it, though. And the problem with it for me is somebody capable of really stepping up and filling this void that they have in the rotation at the moment? Is Rick Porcello capable of really being a solid number two starter for where they are right now? I don't know the answer to that. In the first couple of games, we obviously saw it wasn't good, and we saw what he did do yesterday. But the biggest part of that for Porcello is going to be getting that kind of support behind him, Chris. I mean, he's never going to be somebody who's going to just overpower you, especially at this point in his career. Not that it was ever a big part of his repertoire. Mm-hmm. But I look at it from this standpoint. If you're going to have somebody who's still there right now, not named DeGrom, step up and be able to be that second pitcher, it's going to be because they get a lot of help from people around him. A night like last night has to be something that we see a lot more often. It can't be the aberration.
Yeah, you want to see it more often. Now, the Mets had a couple of things working in their favor. They had Guillorme playing second in for Cano, and you know he's a much better defender based on where Cano is at in his career. And, you know, I just think that when you looked at it, you saw that the defense collectively played a lot better than we're accustomed to them playing. And I like the fact that Porcello has a lot of experience. He earned his 150th career win. So there's something to be said about a guy that has a lot of experience going out there and being able to to work his way through a lineup like the Nats and limit, you know, the damage that that they can do. But here's the thing. I think if you're depending on Porcello to be a frontline starter, at some point that's going to catch up with you. I don't think that the Mets can expect that from him to be a top guy in the rotation. Like, you're looking at Porcello as a middle to back end of the rotation type of pitcher, and to ask him to do anything but that is setting yourself up for failure. Like, you need Stroman to come back. You need Mats to be better than he was the last time out. Like, those are the guys that have to really step up. I just don't see that coming from Porcello consistently, what we saw last night.
No, I don't, and I don't expect it either. But I'm stuck on that word hope, which I think that so many Met fans are too often having to be stuck with. You know, look, they've had some bad luck this year with the injuries. There's no getting around that. Mm-hmm. But is it really too much to ask in a 60-game season for somebody to go above and beyond what they are, especially when you're that kind of a guy? When you are Porcello and you've won a Cy Young in your career, and yeah, it was 4 or 5 years ago, but you know, even last year, they scored runs for him, but he still found ways to, you know, to win games when he was out there. So that might be, even though he got hit hard and he had the ERA that he did, they were still winning around him. Mm-hmm. Can I get Porcello to a point this season in a short year where I can just rely on him to give me a chance every time? I don't need him to be great. Can I get 6 innings and 2 runs, 3 runs? Can I get the definition of the quality start from Porcello for the majority of the time this season, especially when you only have, what, 12 starts in the year for starting pitchers?
Yeah, it's not a lot of appearances. So could you get that from him consistently? I think that's a lot to ask for Rick Porcello to go out at this stage in his career and give you a quality start every time out. Now, if you're saying five innings of three run ball, I could see that. Give me 5 innings of 3-run ball. Let me turn it over to my bullpen. The only problem is, you know, on the days where you don't have Seth Lugo capable of going multiple innings for you, do you trust enough guys in the bullpen to get you from when Porcello comes out of the game to your high leverage guys in Dellin Betances and Justin Wilson? Do you have enough?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the question mark. That's going to continue to be the question mark for this Mets team, because the bullpen, even though we thought it was fixed, clearly is not. Now, last night, Porcello gives you 7 innings, and then you turn it over to Seth Lugo, and he closes the door, retires all 6 batters he faces. So you feel good about that. But this is one of those, man, I don't know. I don't know if there are any answers for the Mets outside of Mats being better and Stroman getting back healthy.
Okay. Let me put it another way. All I'm looking for here is a guy like that and somebody else. And you can tell me from the team atmosphere, what's always the mantra in football? It's next man up, right? Mm-hmm. The next guy has to step in and do the job. And if you lose a superstar, like the Jets, you know, Jamal Adams is gone. You're not going to have CJ Mosley. Are they expecting guys to come in and play at that level? No. But they're expecting guys to come in and play at a level that is not going to kill them. And all I'm asking at this point is, there somebody else in this team or on this team that is capable of elevating for a period of time to get the Mets to the postseason? Because that, to me, is what is going to be required for that to happen. It can't be Alonso in a sophomore year slump. It can't be J.D. Davis not being a more consistent hitter. You have to get an unexpected contribution from somewhere. Maybe it's Jimenez. You know, they certainly like what they've seen so far. Maybe playing,
I don't know why you wouldn't like what you've seen so far.
Yeah. I mean, defensively, listen, Rosario's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that kind of shortstop in a while for the Mets, defensively. So all I'm asking for, in a season where you have expanded playoffs, in a season that is only 60 games, for a couple of other guys to really just play above their heads for a little while. Is that too much to ask for?
No, I don't think it's too much to ask for. And listen, I think the Mets are going to go as far as their lineup can carry them. Are there guys in their lineup that can step up? There absolutely are. I mean, Pete Alonso has got to be better. We know that. Jeff McNeil, when he gets healthy, is going to contribute. But a guy like Dom Smith, who you saw again last night with an RBI double, you know, those are the types of guys that you're going to have to ask for performances for. The only issue with Dom Smith is finding them at bats once everybody is healthy, because that's going to be a little bit tricky, because we know the Mets are insistent on Robbie Cano being in the lineup for some reason. I guess it's because they're paying him all that money. But, I mean, Dom Smith has got to find at-bats. You got to have J.D. Davis working. He's got to be in the lineup as well. Like, those guys are going to have to produce for you. So those are the guys that you're looking at. Like, those are the guys that I think have the talent to actually be consistent contributors to this team trying to make a postseason push. So I think those are the players that you're looking at, the young guys being able to have more playing time, being able to come into their own, being able to develop. And then I think you just ride that wave. Now, as far as the Mets go, they played 13 games in 13 days. They have an off day today, and then they've got a stretch of 7 straight home games, and I think they play the Marlins for 3 and the Nats for 4. So this is an opportunity for them to get right. We'll see what they do in the next 7 games. But, I mean, here's the thing. We already talked about how short this season is. You've played over 20% of the season already. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of time in order to right the ship. So if they're going to get things turned around, it's got to start right now.
I would look at it and point to, in essence, the end of this month. You know, through the end of August, okay? They've got the Marlins, the Nats, both at home. Then they go to Philadelphia for 3. The Marlins for 4. Then they got the Yankees for 3, which is obviously problematic. And then the Marlins for 3 more. Mm-hmm. So over the next 2.5 to 3 weeks, you're playing the Marlins 10 times. And yeah, mm-hmm. they're out to a 5-1 start. I'm not buying that quite yet. but I mean, these are the games. This is the thing, Chris. This is why they have disappointed over the last several years. They don't win enough of the games that they're supposed to go win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all I'm asking for. A couple of guys to play up a little bit higher than they normally do to elevate a team that is missing a couple of key components, and maybe, just maybe, be able to tie you over until you at least get one of them back as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're looking for. I mean, I don't want to give this doom and gloom outlook for the Mets. They're 5-8. We recognize that if you're playing 500 ball, you're probably going to get into the postseason, right? Because you're talking about 8 teams from each league qualifying. The top 2 teams in every single division, and then you're talking about the next 2 best records in the league getting in the tournament. So I just feel like if the Mets, you know, get healthy, and then they get, you know, Stroman back, and you get McNeil back, and you get Rosario back, it feels like they can position themselves to win enough games to be in it once we get to the second season. And then based on what they can throw at you with the guys that should be available as frontline pitchers in the postseason, you feel good about your chances. You do. So, I mean, I think that the biggest thing for the Mets is just make sure that you do everything that it takes to get in and don't fall apart before your season even has a chance to get started.
On the flip side, after what was easily the worst game that the Yankees have played all season in Game 1.
I don't know if it's the worst game the Yankees played or just the worst game that we've seen from Hap since he's been a Yankee.
Well, defensively, listen, Hap was terrible.
Hap was awful. He was awful.
He was absolutely awful. But they also made some mistakes. You know, Higashioka dropping the ball and then getting doubled off. And, you know, defensively, they weren't that good. Even LeMahieu made a mistake defensively when he threw one away when he was trying to throw it back in toward the infield. But that aside, you know, for them, let's start on the positive from the Yankees standpoint. That win with Aaron Nola, as good as he was last night, to grind it out and get to the 7th inning, you know, to me, that's as good of a win as you can have. When you have a guy like that, when you're turning to your opener and you're asking the bullpen, because Hap was so bad that you had to get 4 innings out of your bullpen in the first game, and that obviously didn't go well, but now you're going to a bullpen game in the nightcap. To be able to go and get that win, there are certain wins in baseball, even though it's you know, such a long season, in this case, not as much. There are certain wins that carry a little more weight to them, and that is what that second game meant to me last night.
Yeah, I mean, Nola had double-digit strikeouts. The dude was dealing, man. And yeah. Aaron Boone talked about it. He said it wasn't going to be easy facing Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. I mean, when he's healthy, man, he's one of the better pitchers in baseball. And the fact that you found a way to be able to get to him. I mean, let's talk about that Luke Voit home run, though.
Oh.
I mean, Luke Voit clobbered that baseball. Like, I was watching that in real time, and my old man was saying, man, there was no doubt about that one off the bat. Mm. Like, no question about that. He got all of it. But, I mean, the fact that you were able to hang in there, you were able to get pitches on him and get him out and get to their bullpen when you were able to then start creating some scoring chances, I think that's what the Yankees lineup has to have in terms of their approach when they're going up against the better pitchers in baseball. It's not necessarily about being able to get at him and touch those guys up, but it's about being able to run up the pitch count and get those guys out of there, get to other teams' bullpens, and you know you had a decided advantage when you do that, and then you can create opportunities for scoring chances. That's exactly what they did. You had the Tauchman double, and then you had the RBI single from Gio Urshela, and that ends up being the game. So, I mean, you felt good about that, but in order to have those opportunities, you had to have your bullpen keep you in the game, and that's why you got to tip your cap to Loaisiga and Avalon and Chad Green and Britton. And Britton's been fantastic, by the way, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about a lot of guys on this team, but I don't think we give him the credit that he deserves because he stood in as the closer when Chapman has been out, and he's been fantastic. So, I mean, you feel good about this team moving forward. There were some things yesterday that popped up in the first game that you didn't love, but everything about that first game was weird, right? I mean, you're talking about the Yankees playing their first seven-inning game of the season. Then you're also looking at it from the standpoint that they were the home team for the first game, so they were batting last.
It was bizarre to hear those Yankee bells.
Yeah,
in any place.
It was just strange. There was a lot of things off with that first game. So I just, you know, that's one of those, I don't want to be completely dismissive of it, but it's one of those things where when you're thrown off of your routine and you got to adjust on the fly the way that they've had. I mean, you're expecting a game like that every now and again from them. But I mean, the Yankees are 9-2. It's hard to nitpick with this team.
Yeah, I think it is too. And so many fans have looked at the Yankees and Mike Tauchman and have wanted to figure out ways to get him more at bats. There's a couple of interesting aspects of that, Chris. When you look at a guy like that, he has made himself entirely too valuable in the role that he is in to be that guy to get more at bats. You know, he's comfortable doing whatever it is that you need him to do. Mm-hmm. And when that's the case, it almost works against you sometimes. You know, you're trying to be everything to everybody and you're good at it. They're going to keep riding you to be everything to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that the Yankees have a lot of competition in terms of getting in the lineup. They create that competition, and that's a part of what makes this team so good. I mean, you talked about it yesterday. There's always somebody in this lineup that can hurt you 1-9, and you never know who it's going to be from game to game. And I think that's in part created by the competition for playing time, the competition for at-bats. And when you have that type of environment, it's going to bring out the best in guys. So when you get your opportunity, you know that you have to take advantage of it, and Mike Tauchman is no different. I mean, when you have Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Hicks and Aaron Judge, you know, it's going to be a fight for playing time in the outfield, and, you know, Tauchman is getting in where he fits in. And I think he comes up aces in another big spot for the Yankees, and every time he does that, that's going to create more trust from the organization, from Aaron Boone, and from his teammates when he gets those opportunities. So I feel good about it. It's a glut of riches. I mean, we're talking about a day, you know, today the Yankees having the option and Duhar down. A bat like that. That's how much depth is on this team.
Well,
like, I just think this is one of those things that you realize, yeah, it's tough to find playing time for all of these guys, but when they step in, you have full confidence that they can get the job done because we saw that last year.
I think the easy answer on Andujar is he's not going to be that guy. I don't think Andujar is going to be the guy that you can get a couple of at-bats for here and there, and he's going to go in and be productive. I think he's a guy that has to go play every day. He has 14 at-bats on the season. And
yeah, it's hard to get in a rhythm like that.
Yeah, and he's, to me, is going to be what he was 2 years ago when he is in there every day playing a position. I don't think it necessarily matters what position he's playing for him mentally, but they optioned him down. They announced it this morning along with, I think it was Avalon and, or not Avalon, but Tyro Estrada and one other pitcher, Nick Nelson, after that was a rough one yesterday for Nick Nelson. But they sent him down after the game because they want to get him some more playing time, I'm assuming. And those at-bats are just not coming here anytime soon. And you have Tauchman who can do all of that, who can be that guy that you just give the spot start to in the middle of the week or pinch hit or whatever, and affords you that luxury as opposed to a guy like Andujar.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that each player is different, and so you recognize, okay, this is something that a guy can do. This is a role that you can he can embrace versus not. And with Andujar, I mean, we've been talking about the Yankees moving him around to different positions just so they can have him in the lineup more consistently, but it hasn't worked out that way first couple of weeks of the season. So they got to do what they got to do. I just mentioned that from the standpoint of the competition that's on this roster. Like, it is always going to be competition, and, you know, it puts the Yankees in a good spot from the standpoint that you have guys that are talented that have the potential to produce every single game. Like, it just doesn't matter. Even if you don't have your A lineup, you're capable of scoring a lot of runs. And that's the part about it that's reassuring as a Yankees fan, because you're going to have an opportunity to win a lot of games if your lineup can do damage. And clearly the Yankees lineup, no matter who's in there, can do damage.
Okay. Now we have the not-so-good part.
Oh, here we go.
Hap's atrocious. I mean, he's awful. And look, he could say after the game, and he wasn't using it as an excuse to his credit. I mean, he wasn't getting helped by Angel Hernandez, where balls that were strikes early in the game or later in the game were not strikes for Hap earlier in the game. I think that played a role in the six walks. But, Chris, who do you have faith in right now to be the third guy? Because you do have to have that third starter in the postseason. And I don't feel good about any of the options at the moment. Maybe I'll feel better about Montgomery after today or even moving forward. And I know it's absurd that we're talking about that in August, but it's really the big thing. It's really all that Yankee fans are thinking about right now. Who's going to be that third starter? Because beyond Tanaka, I have no idea who you would trust.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, Sunday's game against Tampa is going to tell us a lot, right? Because that's the next game that Paxton is scheduled to start. So we'll see how that works out. He said that he's working on some mechanics things. We'll see how that goes with their new with the Yankees' new pitching coach. But, I mean, Paxton is going to be the guy. He's going to have the opportunity. That's why Brian Cashman traded for him. It'll be Paxton if he's healthy. So, I mean, those are your three: Gerrit Cole, Masahiro Tanaka, and James Paxton. Now, as far as the regular season goes, you know, when Paxton is trying to right himself and, you know, when you're not whole with your starting rotation, I mean, listen, we don't know who those guys are going to be. I mean, you could look at a guy like Loaisiga. You saw what he did in an opener role yesterday. Is he capable of giving you five or six innings? Remains to be seen, but I'd like to give him a try. And let's face it, in the regular season, you can afford to just based on how your lineup is producing. But Jordan Montgomery has looked good in his return from Tommy John, so you feel good about what he's been doing. And you just have to kind of continue to go from there. I hope Jay Happ figures it out, but based on what we saw yesterday and what we've seen from him all year long, I don't have a lot of trust in that. So, you know, long story long, I don't think that you're looking at Happ or Montgomery or any of these other guys to give you postseason starts. But if you're in a position where you don't have the three guys that you were depending on coming into this year to make postseason starts, then I think you're talking about Brian Cashman being aggressive at the trade deadline at the end of this month.
Okay, but with Paxton, we have seen that the velocity has not gotten back up there. Nope. And it's fair to say that he is coming off this back surgery and he's going to have to work back toward it. But look at what they've done. And part of this was because of what happened last week. But look at what they've done with his time off in between starts. He had 7 days between starts last week, again, partly because of the Phillies situation. And then this week, they manipulated it so he would have 6 days off between starts. And it makes me wonder, I know they want to ease him back in, but it does make me wonder when the velocity is where it is, Chris, that this could be a problem for the year if he is spending the next 2 months recovering from this back surgery and trying to pitch through it. This could be a real problem because as much as we know what he can do in the playoffs, if he's this guy with the pitches that he's throwing, he doesn't have a shot.
No, he doesn't have a shot. Like if his velocity doesn't come back, then you're going to have to start looking at other options. And I think Brian Cashman has enough ammunition to be able to go out and make a trade if he needs to in order to fortify the starting pitching and have somebody that you would trust in that top three to give you a postseason start. But yeah, if James Paxton doesn't get right, then I think that conversation starts to become a lot louder. Because, I mean, listen, we were talking about it. I mean, I don't think you look at Jordan Montgomery as a guy that you want to give a postseason start right now. Certainly, Jay Happ is not a guy that you want to give a postseason start right now. So you'd have to find other options probably outside of the organization. I just think that that's the reality. But it's not a bad position to be in just because you know you have the resources to be able to get a trade like that done.
800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We're going to hit the calls right when we come back. Let's get them rolling shortly. Yankees, Mets, plenty on all of it. We got a lot of football to get to as well today. Who's playing corner for the Giants? I mean, Chris, you want to suit back up and maybe move to the outside?
No, I'm all set. But, I mean, the Giants are getting to that point where they might have to start talking to some guys that have walked away. Like, they might have to kick the tires on some of those veteran players that are out there in free agency because, man, outside of James Bradberry, I don't know who's playing corner for the Giants.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants know who's playing corner for the Giants outside of James Bradberry. And then if you're out on Long Island and you see a strange guy sitting in a car in a parking lot at a Target, he's just checking.
Just hope it's not Rick DiPietro trying to listen to the show.
Exactly, and checking his text messages. There's nothing nefarious going on, officer. Nothing at all.
Man, these Kellen Winslow impersonations.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They've got to stop. It's got to stop.
Not good. All right. 800-919-3776. Carlin and Canty today. I'm in for Dave, and Rick is, somewhere on the island, like we said, without internet. So if he's aimlessly wandering near you, just pat him on the back and, well, don't do that now. You can't do that either. I was going to say give him a hug, but you can't do that. Can't do anything. Oh, poor Rick. Poor Rick. Maybe he'll call in later on. Carlin and for Dave, along with Canty, Rick's power, or rather internet, still out on Long Island. So, help a brother out. Welcome him into the house. He could bring his old broadcast unit. Get the man some, I wouldn't even say get him some chips. Like, what is Rick eating these days? Is he eating well? Is he eating healthy? Or is he, in the middle of
With the comfort food? I have no idea, Carlin. I have no idea. I don't know what his mental state is. But that is really what's going to determine what his diet is.
Give me the sauces.
Yeah.
Wow, that's aggressive. But yeah, here's the thing. Like, you never know with Rick. I mean, based on what's going on with the Mets, he could be leaning toward eating his feelings. But I'm sure he feels great about what's happening with the Isles, so he could, be staying to his diet. I have no idea the state of Rick DiPietro right now. I have no clue.
It's troubling that you, as his co-host, have no clue about his situation at the moment.
Yeah, no
just
idea.
But it's not because it's not a knock on you. It's because I feel like Rick does hold back a lot emotionally. I feel like he's not an open book.
You think he holds back a lot emotionally? See,
I think
he wears his emotions on his sleeve.
See, in some cases, I think he does. I think when it's
with
real
sports
deep stuff.
Fandom, he absolutely does.
No, and absolutely. Why, and the sports fan to me absolutely wears it on his sleeve.
No question. And with the New York sports teams, it's a roller coaster, right? It's up and down. It's highs and lows. And with the Mets lately, it's been more lows than highs. But with the Isles, it's more highs than lows. So, I mean, it's just you just never know when it comes to Rico. You don't know.
Yeah.
He's kind of like one of those baseball players. He's kind of like Jeff McNeil right now. He's day to day. You just don't know what he is.
That's about right. I want him to be okay emotionally. That's all. And I think that he is, but I do wonder, like, how does he handle this kind of situation right now? No internet. As he put in a text this morning, living like the Amish right now. And yeah. Like, I can't imagine.
Everybody's dealing with it, though, man. I listened to Gordon Damer's show this morning, and he's doing it from his in-law's basement. So, I mean, you know, people are trying to find a way, man. It's a struggle out here. All I can say is it's 2020.
Well, let's find out then, shall we? Richard in Long Island is up on the phone. How are you?
What's going on? What's going on, fellas? First time, long time.
Oh, thanks for checking in. What can we do for you?
I just like to join the Sam Beal and Nate Solder and the rest of the NFL players that are opting out of 2020. I'm done with it.
What's going on? So how are you handling all of this right now? Because it is one groin shot after another at the moment. Agreed?
Yeah, my junk is a speed bag right now for 2020.
Yes.
That's what's happening. So I just wanted to call and let you know that I'm listening to the show. I'm sitting in a parking lot so I can actually have use of my cell phone for a little Starbucks for myself and the kids. And as I'm listening to the show, Cassie hands me my coffee. I clean the cup, and it now is all over me in the car in my lap.
Oh, wow.
That's where we're at.
Jeez.
Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You just go straight from the coffee to the Jack Daniels, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next step. I mean, after we're done doing the group activity of churning butter to keep ourselves busy,
make sure you get one of those pictures of you in the stocks in the town square, okay?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
How are you handling all of this?
Not well. I mean, I'm not doing well. I mean, power is good, which is nice. I got no internet. I got no phone. I got no cable. So, I needless to say, I'm giving off a real creepy Kellen Winslow Jr. vibe right now in the parking lot. But, all things considering, I mean, I get to listen to you guys, so I guess that's good. And the Mets won.
There you go. Look at it glass half full, Rico. Your Mets got a win. All it took is for the power to be knocked out in all of Long Island.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you actually put players in their proper positions.
How about that?
Incredible.
It's unbelievable.
it's a revelation.
Right? J.D. Davis playing third, Guillermo playing second.
Yeah, it looked good, didn't it? Porcello actually pitched well. Things come together.
It all did look good. Have you gotten any indication on when anything's coming back? Any clue?
No, I got an email this morning. Well, not now I got it because my phone is working. We understand that you'd like your cable back, and we apologize for the inconvenience. We'll shoot you an email when we get it fixed, which is nice, which I don't get at home. So I'm going to just sit in the parking lot till that email comes again. Oh.
Wow.
Are you
Rico, what happened to your aisles yesterday, man?
What happened to the aisles? Where do we start? I think to your point, I mean, that's the close out of series. Canty, I mean, you've been in situations you've won championships. So you got to match the other team's desperation. The closeout game is always the hardest. I don't think they did that. I think the back-to-back wasn't necessarily in their benefit. And then undisciplined penalties. Too many men on the ice. Yeah, Varlamov taking that penalty. I mean, that was right out of the Rick DiPietro playbook. Handle the fuck out of the Capitals. But that's what happens. I mean, the Islanders' bread and butter is structure, discipline, great in the defensive zone, and they're going to beat you 5-on-5. As long as they don't, make mistakes like they did yesterday, and then all of a sudden Florida, who has a really good power play and a ton of talent, they capitalize on the power play. I mean, you can't afford to go 0-4 on your power play and then give up two power play goals and expect to win when you're limited offensively, to say the very least, for your owners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any concerns about game 4?
No. No, okay. I don't. No, get day off, recoup, regroup. Florida's going to come out hard. They coach well. They got a really good goalie. I mean, I think I said before the series, Bob was going to be Bobrovsky would be the wild card of the series. He had a really bad regular season, but he's won a couple of Vezinas, so he's capable of doing it. He's been good in the series. I expect them to bounce back, play a smarter brand of hockey, and I think they close it out tomorrow afternoon. They better.
Rico, how'd you like the Rico? I got to ask you this: how'd you like the 7-inning doubleheader yesterday for the Yankees?
It felt weird, man. I was watching both. You know, luckily I got no cable, but for some reason the DirecTV works. So I was watching both of the games, and it was funny because I'm watching the Mets game, and then I'm watching the Yankees game, and then I found myself screwed up because the one game was. You know, the Mets game was going on. I'm like, oh, this game is almost, the Yankee game is almost over. I mean, this is the 7-inning is just kind of weird for me, but I mean, I get, whatever you got to do. It's 2020, man. Whatever it takes to get these games in, I'm fine with.
Are you eating your feelings?
Quite a bit. Yeah, I'm definitely eating my feelings.
Define that.
Yesterday, what did I have yesterday? I was a little upset yesterday. I went waffles. I went chocolate chip waffles. Followed up by, some banana bread. Carbicide. I've now moved to Carbicide. I'm going to carb myself to death.
Actually, you just reminded me, I have some banana bread in the refrigerator, so I might get at that after the show is over with.
Yeah, get your energy up before this week. You got a big week coming up.
Yeah, I do. Big week in Chicago coming up.
Big week. Things
someone would call it life-changing.
I would say your level of anxiety should be zero. I can't imagine anything but a yes coming.
Yeah. Me too. So we'll see. We shall see.
All right, boys, get back to it. I just wanted to call and check in. I love listening.
All right. Thanks, and don't be a stranger.
Yeah, be good.
See, you know what? Hearing from him, it just kind of put me at ease because now I know he's okay.
Yeah, he is okay. Yeah,
I haven't heard from him in the last couple of days. We see the text messages, but actually hearing his voice, it's like, all right, I know he feels a way about his Mets and about what's going on with the power being out and all of that stuff, but I know my boy is okay. He's going to be all right.
I thought he was legit.
We won't
mad
have
at me.
A Reese McGuire situation.
God, no.
Yeah.
Did you see the quote? That's a Blue Jays catcher who got caught in that same kind of unfortunate parking lot, not minding your own business kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it not minding your own business or is it minding your own business?
I guess it's a little of both.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to figure that one out. How do we define that one?
This is a rough quote right here. I realized I made a mistake having my pants down doing what I was doing. Really? You realized after the fact that was a mistake?
I don't know how you... but I just don't understand how you come up with the notion that this is a good idea. Like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do today. This is going to be something that I try today.
Exactly. You just took us. Where is the thought process of saying, you know what? I got an hour to kill. Let me shoot over to Target. Let me hang out in the parking lot. And yeah. I mean,
That's a little strange. But you know what? Why even trying to rationalize something like that? It's ridiculous.
Well, it was in Florida, so.
Of course it was. Where else would it be?
Who were those guys in Mets uniforms last night? We'll discuss, and also the Yankees from the standpoint of something that maybe they have been missing in the past that we will get to in just moments. Right now, let's hit the phones, 800-919-3776. Andy and Merrick is, of course, with us, ready to go. Andy, how are you, bud?
Good morning, guys. You know, with all the hockey and the abbreviated shows, I took the week off, but I couldn't go an entire week without torturing Canty a little bit.
No, here we go. Andy with a point to prove. What you got today, Andy?
I got three straightforward questions. They're all baseball. Put your heads together, boys. Ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right, all about the catching today. There have been 11 catchers who have won an MVP. Can you tell me the most recent one to do it? He did it in 2012.
I think I know this one.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Buster Posey.
That is correct.
Nicely done, CC. Nicely done. What's the next one, Andy?
Next one. There have been 5 catchers who have won an All-Star Game MVP award, but only one of those 5 have won it twice. Can you name this catcher with a little New York flavor?
I would think it would be Gary Carter or Piazza.
I need a final answer here. Come on, Colin, you got this.
What do you think? I you know what? Chris, I'd say Piazza.
You sure about this?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
No. Now that I think about it, absolutely not. It's Carter. It's absolutely Carter.
The kid. Two for
nice.
Two.
There
and
you
bang.
Go.
Right there.
There you go, Carl.
All right, one more to go, guys. Tell me the first and only catcher to win three batting titles.
Let me see here now.
Wait not that long ago either.
Hold on, wait a minute now. Let's see here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy that comes to mind would be, yeah, you know what, how about Joe Mauer?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Well played, Mauer.
I was thinking that one, too.
Three for three, guys. As wow. always, stay safe. Fantastic job.
Wow.
I am the nicely smartest done, man
Colin.
Alive.
Nicely done.
Yes, thank you.
Way to carry me on your back. That's not easy, by the way. It's not.
My back snaps in half when I put on a backpack. I mean, I'm not carrying anybody anywhere. But I
put a lot of pressure on your lower lumbar just now. I mean, because Andy came with the baseball questions, high and tight. You know, I just was a little off my game, but you held us down. That's a good thing.
I put a lot of pressure on my lower lumbar every day. Every
just
day.
Getting out of bed.
But what I will say is, you know, I mean, I know Dave is like the king of this. So yes. I feel a little bit just fulfilled, I would say, based on that happening today.
You're living up to the expectations that we have for the driver of DCR.
Absolutely.
Yeah, way to pat yourself on the back. You
for the moment.
There you go.
For the moment.
I'd rather you do that than pat yourself somewhere else.
Exactly. In a parking lot of Target. Yeah. Chris, I, as I'm watching the Yankees last night, 800-919-3776, by the way. Open lines, good chance to get through. Chris, what about the fact that we're watching them and they can't get in and going against Nola, but we've talked about the edge they seem to be playing with and the fact that there is a supreme confidence that no matter the situation, their offense is going to snap them out of it. Even in that first game, I mean, for Pete's sake, they're down, what, 11-3? Mm-hmm. At one point, and they made it 11. They're down 11-7. They cut it to 11-7, and you still didn't think they were entirely dead at that point. I look at it, and I think there is a little more of a clutch factor to them this year. And I know that's somewhat absurd to think about when you think about how good their offense has been. But what's been the big knock is that when it matters the most, they haven't been able to come through with big hits, but like runners in scoring position this year, their OPS is over one. I mean, it's like 1.135. They're hitting .315 with runners in scoring position this year. It feels like they don't try to do too much in these at-bats anymore, you know? I mean, just the fact that Stanton and Voit last night in the seventh inning, both come up, and they're not trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
No, not at all. They're willing to trust the guy that's coming up next in the lineup, right? And that's one of the things we talked about the last couple of years with the Yankees. Be willing to pass the baton and trust that the next guy up in the lineup is more than capable if they get their pitch to hit. And you saw that in the seventh inning of the nightcap last night in the doubleheader. I mean, you had five consecutive batters reach base, both Stanton and Voit with the singles. Then you had Talkman with the RBI double. Sanchez gets hit by a pitch, and then you have Urshela come through with another RBI base hit. So, I mean, that is being able to trust your teammates in a big spot because that was your last chance. And guess what? They took advantage of it. And then you had Zach Britton, who was able to close the door, getting his fifth save of the season in five tries. So, I think that this team is playing well. And I think they understand the things that they need to work on from the last several postseasons and the disappointment that they experienced, knowing what they need to work on during the course of the regular season in order to prepare themselves to try to compete for a championship.
I can't remember seeing a team in the regular season that has acted just the way that you described it, taking everything that needed to improve from the year before, especially in the postseason or from the last couple of years, and really making a concerted effort and not reverting to old ways in those kind of situations. It's so easy to revert back to what your instinct is. And for guys like that, it's to hit the ball out of the ballpark. But having the success that they're having, and they're not playing world beaters, I understand that, but having the success that they're having in that regard, I find particularly encouraging as well.
No, I mean, that's what you're looking for. That's what you want from this team. I mean, you just talked about the team OPS. They've got five guys in their lineup to have an OPS over 1,000. I mean, you feel good about what they're trying to do, their collective approach, and we know that it's going to take everybody in their lineup. Now, you still got a couple of guys that you'd like to see come around. I mean, Gary Sanchez still looks lost at the plate, but, you know, you're hoping that he's going to figure it out, and he's a really talented player. He's a talented hitter. So as things go along, I'm hoping that he gets locked in at the right time and that everybody else continues to do what we've seen them do the first couple of weeks of the season. If that happens, the Yankees are going to be in a really good spot once we get to the postseason. Really good.
Yeah. I it's hard to imagine that you can have this kind of an edge. And while there is always the possibility of getting shut down by great pitching, there is, at the same time, a concerted effort to act, or not to act differently, but to play differently to improve an aspect that has really beaten you up. All right, we got a different Andy and Merrick. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Andy, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen, great to talk to you. You were talking about how the Yankees are now passing the baton and everybody's willing to do what they need to do to get to the next guy. Everybody does that except for the one guy who's been basically an anchor dragging our team down for years now, and that's Gary Sanchez, our terrible catcher. So I'm wondering what you guys think about him and what we should do with him, maybe trade him for a bag of balls or some COVID vaccines or something that would be useful other than, you know, a guy who gets up there and strikes out 90% of the time and really doesn't seem to care.
I don't think it's that he doesn't care.
Yeah, that's not fair.
I don't think that Brian Cashman is looking to move on from Gary Sanchez. You're talking about a guy that hit 34 home runs last year.
Yeah,
like, the talent is there. Everybody knows the talent is there. You're just trying to see if you can get it out of him consistently.
And that the slumps are not a month and a half long. You know, they just need to be a shorter amount of time because everybody goes through them. What he's done here in the first part of the season offensively has been nothing. I mean, he's 2-for-20. He's 2-for-27. I was doing this on a podcast last night.
Yeah.
2-for-27 with 16 strikeouts. I mean,
yeah, it's not good. No, I'm not. No, listen, I'm not defending
his performance
this year.
Yeah.
It's not good. He's not been good. But, I mean, they have the saying, look at the back of the baseball card for a reason. Like, this guy has had two seasons where he's hit over 30 home runs. And he's had three since 2016 where he's hit over 20. So, I mean, it's just, I don't look at it as a situation that they're looking to move on from. You're just looking at it from the standpoint of what do we need to do in order to get him going?
Well, him and Glaber. And Glaber is absolutely struggling right now. He hasn't been able to get it going at all.
No, not at all. But they're not talking about moving on from Glaber Torres.
No, they are not.
Moving that guy.
No, they are not.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.